Anchored is a production of the Classic Learning Test. Based in Annapolis, Maryland, reconnecting knowledge and virtue through meaningful assessments. Visit us at cltexam.com/get-started.
Folks, welcome back to the Anchored Podcast. I am so excited about the guests we have today. There's been a lot of buzz in the Catholic world and the education world about the new Catholic Institute of Technology, Catholic Institute of Technology in Italy, an American university in Italy, which is being launched and I think is positioned to really solve one of the greatest threats and challenges of the moment we are living in, where you have unparalleled, amazing technology in the hands of folks that have often had no ethical or moral formation whatsoever. And we are here with the founders today, married couple, Bill and Alexis Haughey. Bill and Alexis, welcome.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having us.
So, Alexis, I understand you are an MIT grad. Is that correct?
Yeah, I went to MIT as an undergraduate, studied mechanical engineering. And now I'm doing my PhD in the business school. And specifically, I study management of technology and innovation.
Okay, fantastic. And when did you look younger than myself. When did you two meet? How long have you been married?
We met 3 years ago. I coerced her into teaching high school confirmation with me, and she fell for it. And that's kind of where, around then, that's when this idea started coming into formation. We've been married about a year. We were married by Cardinal Sean O'Malley here in Boston.
Wow. Okay.
And then on our honeymoon is when we found our campus in Castel Gandolfo, actually.
No kidding. And it is mind-blowingly beautiful. The pictures of this place, I want to get into the campus and all of this. In some ways, you know, when I started to think about Catholic Institute of Technology and the vision here, it struck me how odd it is that it doesn't already exist. Like, how is the church not leading the conversation around ethics and morality in this age of unprecedented technology? But I want to hear from y'all. What were the conversations like 3 years ago as you started to imagine this kind of crazy idea of, like, let's start a university?
You know, we thought it was a little crazy at the start, and we did our due diligence. We did our research. We did a lot of praying and discerning on it. And we were like, well, I think we can do this. First and foremost is a need, as you said, right? The church historically, so by and large, throughout the centuries, we've been at the forefront of scientific innovation. It's only recently that institutional academia has pushed out the faithful from these conversations. So we have great universities around the world that had a lot of these disciplines. It's definitely, you know, theology and philosophy is our bread and butter. And we have great ethicists, we have great theologians that work on these matters, but the research capacity of these universities kind of fell by the wayside. So, you know, we're honored to be leading the charge. It's been a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but we're privileged to be.
Who is the first one to say, why don't we just start this thing that we wish existed?
I don't think I know the answer to that.
Who's the first one to say? I don't know. We talked to some people at the Vatican Observatory, and they were like, yeah, this is great. Of course we need this. And we, you know, we wanted to put it together. We didn't think we'd be bringing it to the finish line. We thought, you know, like someone more qualified than us. Alexis, obviously, brilliant academic. I'm kind of just like an average guy. You know, I went to an inner city school. I saw the need for like a good quality education that I didn't quite receive. I joined the Marines at high school, worked as a carpenter, went to school at night. And then we found ourselves, we as Catholics, with the means to do this. You know, I own a construction company here. We're civil engineers. And we just felt the Holy Spirit calling us to carry our weight.
It's incredible, I think, how much I feel like God gave us together the skill sets that we needed to carry this out. This is not something that either of us could have even contemplated and certainly not carried out by ourselves. But we're just so complementary in a way that we bring such different skill sets, and somehow it's everything we found we needed.
Like, what do I know about starting a research university? I'm like an entrepreneur. I'm like, let's just do it. and see if it works. And by the grace of God, it has. We're opening our doors in the fall. We have a brilliant class of undergrads that are going to be joining us in some of the best academics in their fields in the world. We have four wow. MIT PhDs.
Unreal. Incredible. Incredible. And not just such a needed concept, but like in the most amazing place possible. I just visited in November, Castel Gandolfo. This is where, you know, the Pope's summer residence has been for a long time. I'm not sure how long. But this whole trip we just did to Italy, Castel Gandolfo was probably the most amazing part of that trip. I mean, it's an incredible location. Talk to us about the location itself, if you want.
Yeah, so we really see Catholic Tech as having, you know, three great ways that it's able to evangelize. First, of course, by educating students in science and engineering and the faith so that they can go out and be evangelists, but also to kind of teach the church about these new emerging technologies that help us to say, we don't need to be afraid of technologies. We just need to be good stewards of them so that it can increase human capacity and make the world a better place. And kind of touching the Vatican, and we have great partnerships we're developing with the pontifical universities and things like that, which we really hope to, you know, provide opportunities for people within the institutional church, you know, priests and religious that we encounter in Rome, to be able to go out and be an authority on these issues, because they not only understand the ethical implications, but they're the best in their field, in the sciences.
We refer to ourselves as a research university in the heart of the church. Historically speaking, this is the location of the Vatican Observatory. So this is the only church-funded scientific research that's always been happening in Castel Gandolfo. So we want to build on that rich history by building like a technology ecosystem that is an asset to the church. Like it's kind of hard to ignore us when we're in the backyard.
Well, it's exciting. And then you're on your honeymoon a year ago. You weren't there to try to acquire an amazing campus, but it happened. I mean, tell us this story. And I've seen the pictures. I mean, you're not like renting property in some like offshoot place, you know, in Rome. Like it's an incredible property that you've now acquired as your campus.
Yeah, so it's truly providential how we did find it. We had a tour of the Vatican Observatory. We know one of the Jesuits that works there, and he was gracious to give us a tour on our honeymoon and kind of see everything. And we fell in love with the town, and it was like, wow, how amazing would it be if we could be here, right? Right at in the heart of the church, where there's so much history that supports what we're doing. And as we said this, we walked down the hill and saw a for sale sign on the old North American College's summer residence. So literally an American style campus located down the street from the Pontifical Summer Residence, the center of town and the observatory. And we just fell in love with it. You know, we have 300 bedrooms, we have 5 chapels, 2 Olympic swimming pools, tennis courts. I wish I could have gone. I still want to like lounge by the pool, and I think I will.
And interestingly, before the Orsini sold it to the North American College, they built a big chapel on the grounds, actually on top of some Roman ruins. And the chapel that they built is to St. Albert the Great, who's one of our 2 patron saints. So we just beautiful. See these like amazing little details about it and think, oh, this is absolutely the place that Catholic Tech was meant to be.
Yeah, there's like American flags that were painted on the ceilings by the North American College. There's so Opus Dei had purchases from the North American College in the 70s. The second prelate of Opus Dei is a chemical engineer. And he was the first one to purchase this property and to be there. And one of the chapels now dedicated to Jose Maria Escriva was the engineer's chapel. So wow. We see God working in this every day, right from when the Orsinis built St. Albert the Great Chapel to modern day. And it's just going to be a beautiful place to study, to worship, and you know, change the world.
I wonder if you could kind of share with our readers and probably half of our audience, not Catholic, a lot of our Protestant brothers tuning in here, the church speaking authoritatively regarding emerging technologies. Is that frequent, infrequent? What has that been like?
What we do as Catholics, right, and what the church does very well, is to develop theological theory, right, and how we can tackle the changing world and what it means to be human, to be Christian in like everyday life that's constantly changing. So we do have brilliant, or especially artificial intelligent ethicists that work in Rome. Two gentlemen that are on our research ethics committee is Father Philip Larey and Father Paolo, who is a Gregorian. And they are doing some brilliant work. They've been working with Pope Francis very closely on answering these questions that have that just keep coming up, and the faithful are looking for some guidance. So what that is done well. We're building on that. But what Catholic Tech is trying to do is to give them the resources as far as scientists and engineers that are actively working in these fields to help in those conversations. Okay. So not just Catholics hear it when the Pope speaks, but the world.
Okay. Well, let's dig in and talk kind of course of study, meat and potatoes here. So this is, you know, marrying the liberal arts, marrying the humanities, marrying the educational tradition of the church, giving students the right framework to think about technology, but also you're bringing in some of the top MIT professors. In terms of a core curriculum, you know, the course of study that every student at Catholic Institute of Technology will be sharing together. I think it's some of the partners CLT has that are known for their core, you know, the core at the University of Dallas or others like that. What will the core be that all students will be sharing? And then what are the opportunities for specialization in terms of majors going to be like?
Yeah, so we follow a cohort model, which is actually very similar, I think, to the University of Dallas and Thomas Aquinas and a lot of those schools. So all of our students in the beginning are taking the foundational math and science courses, Italian, philosophy, and theology, and then eventually Latin all together. So they're following the progression through the different years of study together. And then early in year three is when they first decide on a particular concentration. So that could be biology or biomedical engineering, and then kind of the three core engineering disciplines, civil, mechanical, and electrical engineering and computer science. And that's when they get the opportunity to really dig into their specific areas of interest and also to do research in those fields and do a capstone project that works with our partners in industry. So they really do have a hands-on perspective of what those fields are like at the end of it.
Yeah, and I think having a holistic liberal arts education is incredibly important to us. You know, technically train people is our expertise, but as Catholics, we're looking to form them to be brilliant scholars and scientists, but to be saints and to give them the tools they need to go out and evangelize these spaces.
I think that's actually the most important thing to us, that people go out and are evangelizing and become saints. And we invest so much. I always joke, we have the highest priest to student ratio, any campus, maybe certainly in the US, maybe in the world. And it really is about that kind of personal and human formation, which gives people not only the knowledge, but the fortitude to be able to go out and fight those tough battles, because it is an uphill battle, evangelizing science and engineering and academia and big tech. And we want our students to be prepared for that.
Yeah, I think like the excitement we see in the laity is one thing. And that's something we were hoping for, but anticipated to an extent. What was surprising to us was the excitement in the church, in clergy and religious that wanted to be involved. Our president is one of the foremost academic bishops in the United States right now, Bishop Arthur Kennedy. And he's the president of a startup university because he sees the need and knows it will do good for the church.
It's amazing. Alexis, I got to tell you, I've never heard or imagined an MIT graduate talking this way, talking about evangelizing the tech field, the culture. It's really beautiful and kind of a really, really wonderful, just bold, refreshing way. So thank you. I feel like this is exactly what the church needs. And y'all as a young married couple have just really put yourself out there in starting this. And God has certainly answered that, you know, and again, I can tell you there is absolutely a buzz about this. Non-Catholic students, our audience here, we've got a lot of great Protestant brothers listening to this right now as well. Is Catholic Institute of Technology a good place for non-Catholic Christians who are interested in technology?
Absolutely. We believe in this mission because we think it will be good for the church. But we, first and foremost, technology, the innovation that drives progress, is supposed to be for mankind. We're at a point where humanity as we know it is changing, and what it means to be human and what it means to have a fulfilled and happy life. Be it Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Muslim, atheist, this is about making the world a better place. And I think big tech and institutional academia have had their chance. We need something now that's going to help human beings live more fulfilled lives. So whoever wants to join, by all means.
And I think Protestants in particular, we're all Christians. We all share this shared understanding that the most important thing is to love God, to love our fellow man, and discover more about God and his creation. The motto of our university is to discover God's creation. And I think that's something that unifies us all. We all want to be closer to him. We all want to know how to serve his people better. And technology and, you know, the sciences really is a way that we can unlock the human potential and grow closer to God, as much as philosophy and theology is.
Let's talk about your first class of students. You're going to be welcoming them first class in August. I have a number of questions kind of around this. First is, you know, it may be for a parent listening, they may think, well, this sounds great, but 4 years in Italy, Castel Gandolfo, this has got to be a big price tag. Well, what are you thinking right now? I mean, will Catholic Institute of Technology be competitive with, let's say, other Newman Guide kind of schools in terms of tuition and overall price point?
So right now, as a startup, we do have to be mindful of costs, of course. You know, Alexis and I are some of the biggest supporters. We help get this thing off the ground. We help purchase the property. And we do have many great benefactors, not only Catholic ones, but for people from around the world that want to make this reality. By the nature of a technical education, we're a little bit more expensive than some of the Newman Guide schools. But as far as like an engineering degree goes in the U.S., we're one of the most affordable. We are competitive with any of the three big engineering universities, as far as like Caltech, MIT, Stanford, and then very well-established Catholic universities, such as Notre Dame, Catholic University of America, or Georgetown, that have engineering programs. So we're a steal.
We're committing so many resources to the formation and education of each student. And, you know, to the point that that's actually being subsidized by other areas of the university. You know, we're a research university, so our professors are getting research grants. We've had some very generous philanthropy. And, you know, these students are the future of the church and the world. And we're certainly making an investment in them, I think, that reflects how important we believe these students are for society and the love of God.
The most important thing as far as our business model goes is long-term. We're not a tuition-driven university. Any research university is relying on research grants, be that U.S. federal or European Union. We are eligible. Our faculty come from places where they've been working in these spaces for a long time. So we're eligible for a lot of international and U.S.-based funding. So long-term, we're trying to make sure that every student has an opportunity to go. You know, we haven't turned anyone away as far as cost has been an issue thus far. The best and the brightest, if they can't afford it, we're being very competitive these first couple of years. We have 20 full rides going out this year, or full tuition scholarships. And Yeah, and everyone else, I think, is about a 50% discount this year.
Okay. And it's not too late. If you know, we're in February now, folks are just now hearing about this. Can they still apply for the incoming class? Is that already filled up? What is that like?
Yeah, so I would say get them in sooner rather than later. We're getting new applications every day to kind of preserve our charism and to make sure we have a great foundation for the first couple of years. Like I said, we're very invested in our first class. We're capping that off at 50 students next year. We have more than that in applications right now. So we really need to make sure we're getting people that are mission driven, but the best and the brightest, and people that really want to change the world. So get them in sooner rather than later. But we'd love to have some more people that really want to get behind the mission.
What is a good kind of next step for a parent or a student? You know, a lot of the campuses, of course, in the U.S., you know, they have all kinds of days to visit campus. Is there a day this spring or in the summer where you'll be welcoming folks on campus for them to get a sense of what this would actually be like?
Yeah. So this March, March 8th to the 10th, we have our open house. That is open to students, family members, superintendents of schools. We have a lot of members from the pontifical universities and people from the Vatican coming, the local bishop, our faculty, and donors. So that is a great place to meet all the people that are involved, see our beautiful campus. The pools won't be open. It's the winter still. But eat some great food, stay at night on campus, and get to know everyone involved.
And, you know, starting over the summer when we start to get to campus, we're going to have admissions people on campus who will be happy to give students tours more or less whenever they're there. And we know people travel to Europe on all different kinds of schedules, and one particular weekend doesn't always work for them. But I can suggest that you come when Jeremy's there.
Well, that'll be before you know it.
I would love that. And just getting to know you both, you know, has kind of inspired me to kind of reflect on even our own story here at CLT, where we realized there was something that didn't exist that should already exist, that it was weird that students were taking a completely disconnected admissions test, you know, from their homeschool background or their Catholic school background, in order to then go to a passionately Catholic university, this detour to take a Common Core aligned, you know, essentially public school test. I love just like this. It doesn't exist. Let's just do it. Somebody's got to do that at some point. Otherwise, things don't come to exist. And I feel like this kind of work is exactly what you know, young people need to be doing. So thank you for starting this. I'm so encouraged by the buzz that we're hearing about at CLT. I know that you're getting probably every day more and more, as you said, applications coming in. I think it's going to be an amazing freshman class. So what does the future look like? You know, this first class, 50 students will be coming in the fall. Where do you see it in 3 or 5 years?
Yeah, so, our 10-year plan is roughly 1,000 undergrads. And based on our level of applications, as long as we keep up and people keep praying for us, I think we'll hit it. But, you know, in roughly 5 years, our current buildings will be at capacity if everything goes well. So we can house 350, roughly. In our current structures. And then we're going to start building. We have a ton of land. We have 60 acres. You can get lost in the woods and pray all day. But, you know, we're definitely looking to build. We want this to be our home. We want, you know, this to be kind of the hub of morally grounded technological innovation.
And with that, you know, we want our researchers to keep doing fantastic work and thriving. We'd love to see, you know, startups and some like little satellite campuses of big companies to show up around there, because the more that we can bring, you know, all of this innovation into the heart of the church, the more opportunity we have to, you know, guide them and make sure that they're ethically informed.
Well, you probably see this with CLT. It's just amazing. And we see God work in this, right? But it's amazing. And I don't, you know, we'd love to hear your side, your story here soon, but it's people reach out every day and just like, hey, what can I do? How can I be part of this? And some, we found some great faculty that way, but also just like, oh, can you make a connection here? We are building this super robust entrepreneurial network with Silicon Valley and people in biotech here in Boston. People just have been looking for this. There's been a hunger for something that is grounded in their faith or has a moral compass to help steer this innovation. So get the word out, tell your friends, see you in March, and join the fun.
Again, the name of the new university is the Catholic Institute of Technology in beautiful, beautiful Castel Gandolfo, near just south of Rome, Italy. We're here with Bill and Alexis Tahi. Bill and Alexis, so great to see you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. I can't wait to get on campus, and I'm excited to hear about this first group of students.
Great, Jeremy. Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Anchored. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to leave a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. And remember to subscribe and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.